Let's bear in mind also that some 5,000, 4,000 to 5,000 put options were placed on American Airlines on September the 10th, one day before the attack. Also excessive put options, no other airlines had any other similar trading patterns. Reuters issued a story, September 10th, airline stocks poised for takeoff. The 4,744 put options on United Airlines were purchased through the investment bank A.B. Brown, Alex Brown, Deutsche Bank, that was headed until 1998 by the man who is currently the executive director of the Central Intelligence Agency. Buzzy Krongard sold his stock in A.B. Brown in 97 or 98 to Bankers Trust. In 99, it was purchased by Deutsche Bank, which had all of its American offices in the World Trade Center. And I have written in a number of previous articles that the CIA, the Mossad, British intelligence, using very sophisticated software called Promise, P-R-O-M-I-S, monitor all stock trading in real time. And I'm going to show you evidence of that in a second. We have all of those put options purchased through A.B. Brown. September 10th, 4,516 put options are purchased on American Airlines as compared to 748 call options. September 6th through 11th, no other airlines show any similar trading patterns to those experienced by UAL and American. The put option purchases on both airlines were 600% above normal, this at a time when Reuters was predicting airline stocks poised to take off. Highly abnormal levels of put options are purchased on three major reinsurance companies. A reinsurance company is merely an insurance company that insures another insurance company. AXA Reinsurance, Munich Re, Merrill Lynch, Morgan Stanley were also hit heavily in the World Trade Center attacks. But my source for this was this report, dated September 23rd, which is what? 12 days after the attacks, from the Herzliya Institute, International Policy Institute for Counterterrorism in Herzliya, Israel. It's the Mossad. And they read this, and I read that they had found out that the trades were made through Alex Brown, and I said, holy smokes, they know that the U.S. government committed these attacks or, you know, set them up and allowed them to happen. They're leaking that information. And the town of Herzliya, which is a little ritzy town on the Israeli coast, I think it's north of Tel Aviv, will become significant later on as we move here. But this was backed up, and this was a story that I broke when Kalia had me on Guns and Butter. It just blew the KPFA switchboards out of the water when I told them the other stuff about the stock markets, you know, and the interrelationship. But in this context, clearly somebody knew the attacks were going to take place. Now, one of the questions I'm asked most often, by the way, a guy by the name of Phil Erlanger, who is this is faded, but terrorists may have used wrong. It wasn't terrorists. Their attacks is a way of swindling the world's financial markets out of billions of dollars. We don't know how much money was made. And the question I'm asked is, well, Mike, you got to tell us who made the trades. And the answer is, I can't. Trades of brokers are as protected as medical records. I can't go find out who bought them and who sold them. Banking secrecy laws. The only people who can find out are the FBI, the SEC, the Department of Justice, and Congress. And they haven't lifted a finger to find out who made those trades. Do you think they have something to hide? Could be. Let's go on with the timeline. Come down to September 11th. General Mahmoud Ahmad of the ISI, that's the guy who wired the money to Mohammed Atta, is actually in Washington, D.C. on the day of September the 11th. He's not at the Pentagon. He happens to be meeting off campus with a bunch of military officers, probably to discuss war plans. September the 11th, the day of the attacks, employees of Odigo Inc. In Israel, one of the world's largest instant messaging companies with offices in New York receives threat warnings of an imminent attack on the World Trade Center less than 2 hours before the first plane hits. Guess where the Odigo offices are? They're in the city of Herzliya, Israel. They immediately notify the Mossad, who immediately sends the warning bells to CIA and the Pentagon. 2 hours before the attacks. Jeez. Sources for that, CNN's Daniel Seberg, 92801, Newsbyte's Brian McWilliams, 92701, and Haaretz, the Israeli paper, 92601. September 11th, I gotta fix this typo. It's not 35 minutes, it is 50 minutes, from 8:15 a.m. until 9:05 a.m., with it widely known within the FAA and the U.S. military, that four airliners have been simultaneously hijacked, an event which has never before occurred in world or American history. Not a single Air Force plane is scrambled. Now, there is a fabulous researcher named Jared Israel, whose website is www.tenc.net, the Emperor's New Clothes, who pulled the FAA manuals, who pulled the U.S. Air Force manuals. And what he found out is something very clear, and you're going to have a big aha here in a second. For more than 25 years, it has been standard FAA and U.S. Air Force policy the moment any airplane under FAA control goes off course, deviates from flight plan, loses transponder control. Your pilots know that you got to push a little button that identifies you on the radar screen, or loses radio contact, that fighter aircraft must be scrambled to intercept. Not shoot it down, just go fly up alongside of it and see what's going on. Standard FAA procedure that has been followed in every case since 74, 75, 76, something like that. Do you remember Payne Stewart? The golfer in Texas on the chartered Learjet takes off from Texas, deviates from flight plan. They're not squawking when FAA asks them to squawk. They don't respond to the radio. Less than an hour later, there's two F-16s flying right beside it. It didn't require George Walker Bush to tell him to go do that. And yet for some 70 minutes, after the first plane hits the World Trade Center, you have Vice President Cheney on television telling you, we just didn't know what to do, and the president wasn't there to scramble the airplanes. The only way that fighters could not have been scrambled on September 11th was if the National Command Authority, the President, the Vice President, Secretary of Defense, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, had ordered the fighters to stand down. And you believe that they got away with this? What's worse is Jared has gone to the Andrews Air Force Base website, which has been changed since September the 11th. I used to work outside of Andrews Air Force Base. I saw F-16s, F-15s. I'm an Air Force brat. F-18s taken off all the time. You read the site now and it says, well, we maintain Air National Guard and Reserve squadrons, implying that there were no pilots on the base. Yet pre-September 11th, the website said, we maintain Air National Guard Reserve combat squadrons in the highest state of readiness. They call it the ready response. How many people have been in the Air Force? What's ready response mean? It means you got your fighters, you got your pilots in jumpsuits, they're gassed, they're cocked and locked, ready to go. You go hop in the plane and you take off. Air Force pilots regularly rotate on TDY, temporary duty, through these pilots. Andrews Air Force Base is the home of Air Force One. You think they wouldn't have fighters there? The whole website's been taken down. Jared preserved the original writings versus the post writings. Evidence of a conspiracy and a cover-up. They were flat lying. Now, let's go a little further. Okay, by the way, the sources for some of the scrambling on the Times, they waited 75 minutes. The sources are CNN, ABC, MSNBC, the LA Times, the New York Times. You just read their timelines. September 13th, 2 days after the attacks, China is admitted to the World Trade Organization. They hadn't been trying for 15 years, but they'd been trying to move into that for about 15 years. It wasn't called the WTO 15 years ago, but I caught it from the New York Times. September 14th, Canadian sailors opened Delmark Vreeland's envelope. Oh, shit. Toronto Star, October 23rd. September 15th, the New York Times reports that Mayo Shattuck III has resigned effective immediately as the head of Alex Brown Deutsche Bank. The guy that handled the insider trades resigns the day after the attacks. He only had a $30 million contract. And I've since found out that he's very tight with John Poindexter, Stan, a whole bunch of guys. I'll have a story on Mayo Shattuck very soon. He's a classic insider, but he resigns. San Francisco Chronicle right here, very good reporting on the 29th, says that 2.5 million in put options on American Airlines and UAL are unclaimed. That's because they shut down the market for 4 days and one of the lazy bastards didn't get there quick enough. He must have been hung over or something. But they still haven't been claimed as far as we know. But I've called the SEC about 10 times, or my writers have. And all they say is, we will neither confirm nor deny the existence of any investigation into insider trading around September the 11th. You call Congress and they say, we don't know anything about it. We're not going to hold hearings. October 10th, the Pakistani newspaper The Frontier Post reports that Ambassador Wendy Chamberlain has paid a call on the Pakistani oil minister. A previously abandoned Unocal pipeline from Turkmenistan across Afghanistan to the Pakistani coast for the purpose of selling oil and gas to China is now back on the table in view of recent geopolitical developments. They didn't wait long, did they? Source, I said the Frontier Post, October 10th. Mid-October 2001, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, after having suffered a precipitous drop, has recovered most of its pre-attack losses thanks to a massive infusion of cash from the U.S. Treasury, most of which went to the net profits and the presidents of the companies. Notice there were no aid plans for the unemployed airline workers. November 2001, the British newspaper The Independent runs a story headlined, Opium Farmers Rejoice at Taliban Defeat. Isn't that great? November 25th, the Observer runs a story headlined, Victorious Warlords Set to Open Opium Floodgates. Gee, what a surprise. Remember, the planting season is in November. We occupied the country just in time to hit the planting season. Isn't that strange? December 4th, convicted drug lord opium kingpin Ayub Afridi is recruited by the U.S. government. The guy's doing 7 years for heroin dealing. Now he's a U.S. government consultant. This is just to show you that I got the story. There's the pipeline back on. That's from the Frontier Post. See, I love it when people say you ain't got nothing to back it up. I say, you're damn right I do. Victorious warlord set to open opium floodgates. A Pakistani general, by the way, has quit and gone on Australian TV and said, listen, it's all about opium. What's wrong with you guys? Don't you idiots get it? You know, they're fighting over opium and oil. A Pakistani general. He went on Australian TV. Pakistani general confirms publicly that war on terrorism is all about heroin. SBS television on 14 January in Australia. Now, Hamid Karzai, the new prime minister, interim prime minister of Afghanistan, is a former Unocal employee. You haven't been told that, have you? The source on that, by the way, was Le Monde. Diplomatique, Le Monde, who has endorsed FTW. Le Monde is truly fabulous. Okay, December 25th, Christmas, newly appointed Afghani Prime Minister Hamid Karzai is revealed as being a former paid consultant for Unocal, source Le Monde. January 3rd, 2002, President Bush appoints this guy, he is as bad as Dick Armitage, Zalami Khalilzad as special envoy to Afghanistan. He's also in the Philippines. He was a former high-ranking guy in Department of Defense, but guess what? He's also a former Unocal employee. Source Pravda, 1902. January 4th, 2002, from the Christian Science Monitor, Florida drug trafficking explodes after 9/11 because there's nobody to catch all these nasty drug dealers. for supervising the pipeline construction in place. Do you think anybody had foreknowledge? Now, if I have not convinced you yet, and you think my government would never do this, they might have known in Pearl Harbor, but there's no proof that the government would ever plan an attack on Americans just to start a war, my answer is you're dead wrong, and here it is. This is a declassified, top-secret document from Operation North Woods. In 1962, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, General Lemnitzer, drafted a plan to shoot down two military aircrafts painted up like airliners and to stage attacks on U.S. military bases in Cuba and blame it all on Fidel Castro for the purpose of starting a war. You don't believe me? Go read it on the website. I've got them on my website. You can download the documents. They're in PDF format. Now, I've been around covert operations. And I've been studying CIA for 23 years. And I will tell you that what they really planned to do was to shoot down two real airliners. They just didn't want to put it because you can't, you know, how are you going to start a war unless there's some grieving victims? But there it is right there. Government's not above doing it. I said that on the radio, too. I don't think they like that today. Now, I said in January of this year, when the Bush administration took office, you mark my words, they're going after Social Security. Savings and loan. Remember savings and loan? That took $500 billion out of your pockets. That was just a warm-up. I said they're going after Social Security. And we have this story from November 8th, a letter to the Honorable Daniel Patrick Moynihan, Chairman of the President's Commission to Strengthen Social Security. It's written by Henry Waxman and one other member of the Ways and Means Committee. And what they said was, you guys are holding all these hearings on Social Security, and you're doing it behind closed doors. We're Congress. We have the purse strings. We're charged with oversight of the Social Security Trust Fund. And you won't let us into the meetings. Well, there's another little clue as to what he's after. Did you all notice, by the way, that in the economic recovery plan, President Bush just wants to take a couple of trillion dollars out of Social Security for economic recovery? How many people here are on Social Security in one form or another? How many people are going to be within the next 10 to 15 years? All right, you don't want to cop out to how old. How many are going to be in the next 20 or 30 years? Jesus Jones. Well, look, I caught this little quote. It's really cool. I love this. This is from the Miami Herald of November 29th. Bush had promised during the presidential campaign to avoid tapping Social Security except in cases of war, recession, or national emergency. And he's quoted on September 11th by his own budget director, Mitch Daniels, as saying, lucky me, I hit the trifecta.